There was an umpire in a softball league who got stopped by a policeman for speeding. He pleaded for mercy. He told him that, "I'm really a good driver. I was just in a little bit of a rush." The officer didn't buy his argument. "Go tell it to the judge," he said. Softball season rolled around, and guess who was the very first batter at the plate? Yes, the policeman. And they recognized each other. "So, how did that ticket thing go with you?" With a menacing look on his face, the umpire said, "You had better swing at everything." The umpire was ready to get his revenge. Now, sometimes revenge can be really sweet. However, that's not really the satisfactory answer for us as Christians. The answer is something that we are taught at a very young age, at Sunday school, by our parents. We are supposed to forgive. Simon Peter came to Jesus, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brothers and my sisters? Up to 7 times? No, up to 77 times. Jesus himself lived out those words during this Lenten season. We are focusing on the cross. We are trying to prepare ourselves for that fateful day, Good Friday. Place yourself at this crucifixion scene. The Roman soldiers cruelly throw Jesus, the very Son of God, onto the ground. And now picture these soldiers trying to put nails into his hands and his feet. These soldiers were basically professional executioners. They had no mercy. They were actually enjoying themselves. This was sport to them. And as they are pounding the nails into his hands and his feet, they hear Jesus with these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What a tremendous example for us. If that same thing happened to you and me, I doubt whether we would be saying those same words as Jesus. And then picture as they lifted him up on the cross, gambling lots for his clothes, mocking him while he hung there helplessly. And Jesus is now paying for their awful sins while he's on the cross. I have a hard time understanding that. It is so difficult for us to forgive others, those who have truly made our lives a living hell. The great Christian scholar and writer C.S. Lewis struggled for many years to forgive a childhood teacher who had made life miserable for him. And just before his death, Lewis wrote a letter to a very close friend where he wrote the following, quote, "Do you know, only a few weeks ago, I realized suddenly that I had at last forgiven this cruel schoolmaster who was so dark in my childhood. I've been trying to do it for years, and each time I thought that I had done it, I found, after a week or so, it had all be attempted over again. But this time, I feel sure it's the real thing." He struggled to forgive this headmaster, but he knew that his witness for Christ would not be authentic until he somehow managed to forgive this person who had caused him so much pain. Is there someone that you need to forgive? An unfaithful friend? A friend who has stabbed you in the back? An employer who has made your life miserable? I know that many of you have pain in your lives. And the most powerful witness that we have in our lives is the ability to forgive others. But then there's the other side of this forgiveness coin, when we need to be forgiven ourselves. Because we have all been there. We are going to do something wrong. We know that it's wrong. And we don't care. Satan has led us into a very dark place, and we have gone along for the ride. I mean, after all, who else is going to know? I'm not going to tell anyone. Everyone else is doing it. Who is it going to hurt? It's so easy to rationalize things sometimes, isn't it? And then it's done. We feel shame. humiliation, remorse, and we cry out for forgiveness, but there is no human that you can go to because of the shame of the moment. There's a little boy who disobeyed his mother and his conscience was bothering him. He was sneaking into his room where his mother said, "Frankie, where are you going?" "I'm going to my room. I need to talk to God." His mother said, "Is this something that you can't even tell your own mother?" "Yes, it is," said Frankie. "You will just scold me and punish me. But God, he will forgive me and then just forget that it had happened." We are all guilty before God. We have broken his law. How many times have you heard a pastor tell you that sin separates you from God? And we all know that. But the guilt of that sin causes us to shun God, to run and hide from God, just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Sin and guilt has created this chasm, a great distance between us and God. Jesus paid the penalty that we owe, so God can now look upon us as guiltless. But Christ does something else. He forges that chasm. He builds a bridge between God and us, a bridge that can lead to reconciliation, a bridge that can lead us to a sense of peace and harmony with God himself. Those of you who are in my Max Lucado Bible study, you will remember this. When Jesus died on the cross, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This curtain represented this division between God and sinners. Because of God's immeasurable love, he paid our debt on the cross. And that division is no longer there. Jesus has now torn down the curtain between God and us. Jesus is now our mediator. All of our sins are forgiven. All of your parents' sins are forgiven. Your children's sins are forgiven. Even Rusty Woomer's sins have been forgiven. Rusty was an ex-con who was executed in the electric chair in 1991. He had been placed on death row for the brutal rape and murder of a young woman named Della Sellers. Rusty robbed a convenience store where she worked. He kidnapped her and then he killed her. While he was in prison, he opened up a Bible, and eventually he became a very strong Christian. He believed that even Jesus could forgive the sin that he committed. However, there is one thing that always bothered him. He was hoping that the brother of Della, the girl that he had killed, that his brother would forgive him. And sitting on death row in those last days of his life, he prayed every day that this brother would forgive him. This was the final piece of the puzzle in this story. His prayer was finally answered just before his execution. He received a letter from Della's brother, and this is what the letter said. "For years, I hated you with all my heart. I wanted to kill you for what you did to my sister. I only regretted that you were in prison where I couldn't get to you. But I spent time in jail myself, 56 different times over the years. I felt like a failure. But then I became a Christian. And the more I learned about becoming a Christian, the more I knew that I had to forgive you. I didn't want to. But it got to where I couldn't even say the Lord's Prayer, 'Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.' And it made me so mad. Now I had to forgive you. Now the ball was in my court. I prayed about it, and God has done a miracle in my heart. I forgive you. We are brothers in Christ. I love you." The only entity that loved these men more was God himself. The love of God, so implausible, so inconceivable, so high and broad and deep, that this gift of forgiveness could be given to us even when we didn't want it. There's only one place where that could happen, and that place is where those two men could have met and reconciled, and that's at the foot of the cross. This is the love of God. Famous theologian and pastor Charles Spurgeon once said, quote, "Let us go to Calvary to learn how we may be forgiven, and then let us linger there to learn how to forgive." There's only one way to become a forgiving person, and that is to become a forgiven person. And there's only one way to become a forgiven person, and that's to go to Calvary. During these 40 days of Lent, I invite you to go to the foot of the cross. Linger there for a while. Take it all in. Experience the incredible love of our Savior, who gives us one of our greatest gifts, the gift of forgiveness. To err is to human, but to forgive is divine.